Godzilla is now in New York City.
Monster 01 and 02, commence the attack.
And welcome back to Stomp This Way. We are back this week with another giant monster movie. What else would we be talking about here at Stomp This Way? Here at STW. It's actually less syllables just to say Stomp This Way, I guess. So that's what we're going to stick with. But anyway, we are talking about Hugh, the Winged Serpent. Or alternate titles, just called Q. So
simple.
Yeah, my Blu-ray cover said Q, the Winged Serpent, but on Wikipedia it said the primary title was just Q. But anyway,
you know,
you want to hear some production trivia?
Oh, you know I do.
All right, well, this is directed by a man named Larry Cohen, and he directed quite a few things, but I listed two movies that I know that we've seen for sure from him, and those are The Stuff, which is a pretty solid, like, The Blob parody movie.
Yeah, I think not bad at all.
And A Return to Salem's Lot, which is not a good movie.
No, not at all.
I think Cohen is mostly known for kind of horror comedy satires. It's kind of what category most of his movies would fall into, and I think this movie would more or less fall into that category.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about it more as we get into it. This movie was shot on location in NYC and both in and around the Chrysler Building. They paid $18,000 to film inside the Chrysler Building. Moriarty's character, that's the main character, he plays Quinn, wasn't initially a failed pianist in the script, but after Cohen learned that Moriarty actually wrote and played music, he started adding scenes about that subplot. And then the creature effects were accomplished with stop motion techniques, which is pretty obvious.
Yeah.
But anyway, some box office information. This was released on October 8th of 1982 with a budget of $1.1 million. And it had a theatrical gross of $255,000.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was kind of a flop. But anyway, we're going to listen to the trailer, and we'll come back, read off the cast and crew, read off a plot summary, and we'll talk about Hugh, the Winged Serpent. See you in a bit.
For 10 centuries, it has waited to be awakened. To be worshipped again like a god, to fill the skies, to cast its shadow over the earth, to release its fury. Today in New York City, the Winged Serpent rises. The Winged Serpent rules. The Winged Serpent. David Carradine.
This thing has been prayed back into existence.
Michael Moriarty.
It was big and there was something in it that looked like an egg. But it couldn't have been an egg. There aren't any eggs. There's no egg that big.
Richard Roundtree.
What I want to know is, how the hell is this tie in with the murders and the mutilations?
Candy Clark.
What are you going to do if someone dies tomorrow, or the next day, or the next day?
Well, I'm not going to think about it. You know, it won't be my fault. It'll be theirs if they don't give me what I want.
Money. $1 million in cash, tax-free.
They are searching. discovering, believing, and preparing for the battle of a thousand years.
Load tracer ammunition. Want to see the trajectory?
Get those guys out of the basket!
Okay, everybody hold their positions. Everybody stay right where you are, all right? Don't move!
Against the fantastic flying forces of a lost age.
You like saying a prayer?
And man against the winged serpent. Today in New York City, the winged serpent rules. The legend has come alive.
All right, we're back. The cast and crew is as follows. Written, directed, and produced by, as the opening credits tell us, Larry Cohen. Music by Robert O. Ragland. Effects by Randall William Cook and David Allen. And starring Michael Moriarty, Candy Clark, David Carradine, and Richard Roundtree. The plot summary is thus. Jimmy Quinn is a failed pianist and criminal getaway driver. One day, after a botched heist, he attempts to hide in a storage room at the top of the Chrysler Building, where he stumbles across the nest of a giant flying creature. The monster has been quietly snatching people from high-rises across the city, but people are beginning to notice. Those taking notice include the police, and in particular Detective Shepard, who connects the case to a cult who worships Aztec gods. Quinn, as the only man who knows the location of the creature's nest, uses the knowledge to extort money out of the city. Once he gets his prize, he leads the police force to the Chrysler Building. There, the cops find the egg, but the adult creature is absent. Quinn gets the money repossessed from him, and meanwhile, the cops find the cult leader Shepard believes is responsible for reviving the creature, but the man gets away. The police force gathers back at the Chrysler Building, awaiting the creature's return, and when it reappears, they riddle it with bullets. The creature dies, but the cult leader tracks Quinn to a seedy hotel and attempts to sacrifice him to revive the giant bird. Shepard arrives just in time and kills the cult leader, and Quinn and Shepard go their separate ways. We see that another egg has been laid in a separate building, and it begins to hatch as credits roll. More or less.
Yeah, more or less. Not the worst I've ever heard.
So, I had seen this movie before because I had bought it with the initial intention of watching it for the podcast before our hiatus.
Yeah.
But obviously we didn't get around to it. So one day I was bored around, sitting around the house, and I put it on and watched it. This is the first time you've seen this movie, correct?
Yeah, I didn't watch it with you last time.
So two different perspectives, I guess, on this movie coming in here. It starts with kind of, you know, they do this a lot. I will go ahead and say up front, this movie uses its setting to the maximum effect.
Oh, yeah.
We have a lot of grand sweeping helicopter shots of the New York City skyline. And of course, a lot of city street level shots. And like they talked about, they actually filmed in and around the Chrysler Building. Mm-hmm. I believe that room where the nest is actually a room that was in the Chrysler Building at the time. So up front, that's a great strength of this movie. And we start with one of those helicopter sweeping shots of the skyline. And, you know, it establishes its tone early in the first scene, really, where we get this scene in a skyscraper, a woman's office, where this window cleaner is, apparently he cleans her window all the time because he thinks she's hot.
Yeah.
But it is annoying the heck out of her. And, you know, there's a bit of joking going back and forth about that. And then he gets his head taken off by an unseen creature. And then, you know, the plot kicks into motion. We have David Carradine in this movie, a veteran actor. He is probably most famous. I think he was the main bad guy in the Kill Bill movies. Hmm. He's good in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, Michael.
Yeah,
Michael Moriarty, he is a frequent collaborator with this director, Larry Cohen. I believe he was also the star of The Stuff and A Return to Salem's Lot.
Yep.
So he works with Cohen a lot. And I think he's also really good in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
But the police, they're trying to figure out who killed this guy, where his head went. We're introduced to Moriarty's character, Quinn. Mm-hmm. He goes to a bar where his girlfriend works and tries to get on as the pianist there, but he's not very good. And he's also works part-time as a getaway driver, I guess. But, you know, long story short, he goes on this job. It goes wrong. He gets the bag of diamonds, but he gets hit by a cab trying to get away, and he drops it. And he goes to the Chrysler Building to get with his lawyer, but he bangs on the door too hard and sets off an alarm or something. So he goes and tries to hide in the top storage room or whatever this thing is.
Yeah.
And comes across a dead body and a nest.
And an egg.
And an egg in the nest. And yeah.
And it all starts from there.
Yeah, and then we get cutbacks. You know, we get a lot of stuff with Shepard, the detective, trying to hunt down this cult that's, you know, may or may not be responsible for bringing this bird back. I don't think the movie ever definitively says whether they did it or it was just coincidence.
It really doesn't. That's only really in a few scenes here and there.
Yeah, I think one of the problems with this movie is it's got a couple too many subplots. I think this subplot with the cult could be, even though this movie's only 93 minutes, they can't afford to cut much without coming short of a feature-length movie, but they could cut the cult subplot, and I think it would be perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Also, you know, all the stuff with there's several subplots that really don't have a lot to do with the monster. The stuff with Quinn and the fact that he's, you know, bad at being a heist guy.
And the pianist.
And these guys come to rough him up, and then he, you know, leads them to the bird, and they get got. The whole, yeah, him and his girlfriend are obviously fighting. They're kind of in a very unhealthy relationship. But she's trying to hold on to whatever good parts with him in him. And
but, you know, and they had to have that so they could get a feature-length film out of this.
Yeah. You know, like I said, Cohen is known for satires.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are satirical elements in this movie. You know, they kind of satirize some elements of giant monster movies, like the ending. If we want to fast forward to the ending, they have this big shootout on the Chrysler Building. It is very reminiscent, obviously, of the King Kong movie. I told Andrew it's kind of like reverse King Kong, where instead of people are circling around King Kong and shooting him, they are in the building at the top of the Chrysler Building shooting out towards the bird that's circling them.
Mm-mm.
Obviously an homage or whatever you want to call it to King Kong. They, you know, satirize some other elements. Like, I think maybe it's, you know, it's kind of a running thing about this bird is a huge bird and nobody sees it. And they said something about it comes out at the particular time of day where it can fly along the
sun,
the same angle as the sun. So people will look up and are blinded.
Mm-hmm.
But the movie's not particularly funny. I mean, it's got a couple of funny bits. I think it kind of drags in a lot of scenes.
Yeah.
There is not a whole lot of monster action in this movie until, I mean, you barely see the creature until the big final blowout at the Chrysler Building.
Yeah.
Probably a lot of for budgetary reasons. But yeah, I mean, I like the performance that Quinn's putting on. I like Cara Dean in this movie. The girlfriend character is not giving a very good performance.
No.
You know, I like the bit where, like, Quinn is, you know, he's a man that's been beaten down by the system. There's some talk about maybe one of his convictions was he was wrongfully convicted. But he gets this knowledge and then he tries to be the big man on campus and, you know, extort money out of the city and all that. I think that stuff is pretty good. Pretty good character work.
Yeah, it's pretty good. That might be one of the few good things about this movie.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't dislike this movie. No. I didn't hate this movie. I didn't love it either. I don't think it's good as, like, The Stuff, Like, if you've ever watched this stuff, it is more of a direct parody movie.
Oh, yeah. It's
That's definitely parodying.
The Blob.
Parodying, yeah, a specific movie in The Blob. And I think it's funnier and probably, you know, faster paced, tighter script. That's kind of Larry Cohen at his best.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of mid-tier Cohen. It's better than A Return to Salem's Lot.
That's the low tier.
that's like bottoming out Larry Cohen. But yeah, I mean, the movie's fine.
It's all right. It's good for what it is.
Yeah. It's kind of like a pretty stereotypical 80s. Like, it's got all those 80s elements, like the cop drama, the kind of mob piece of it, the giant monster movie.
Rocky relationships.
Yeah, the cult aspect. So it's kind of like a bunch of kind of stereotypical 70s and 80s movies elements.
Thrown together all into one. Cheap
film.
Cheap giant monster.
Yeah. It is kind of an odd movie. I'm not surprised that it flopped at the box office. I don't know how you sell this to audiences.
And it flopped pretty hard.
But anyway. Yeah, so anything else you want to say about the plot before we move on?
No, I think we've pretty much covered everything.
I think the TriStar Emmerich Godzilla movie stole that in, you know, teaser with the egg hatching and the baby coming out from this movie, because it's basically the same scene.
Basically.
But, you know, it's what it is. Let's move on to creature design real quick. The bird?
It looks all right.
Yeah, it's big. It's basically bird. It's got four legs with wings. It's kind of like
it's a very long neck.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Nessie, maybe, but with wings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of. And then, you know, the baby.
I think the baby is mostly a puppet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It looks like a smaller version.
Yeah.
It's kind of icky looking. Yeah. I think they accomplished that. But getting into effects, I mean, the effects are stop motion, so obviously they're dated. I don't really judge the movie for it, because obviously they were operating on a low budget. And this was the early 80s, so I don't know how else they would have pulled off a giant creature feature like this, especially one where the creature flew most of the movie without doing stop motion effects. I think that when the creature is by itself in the frame by itself, and they're not trying to mat it onto a actual cityscape shot or into the shot with humans, human actors, I think it looks pretty good. Now, when they have these, you know, comp shots where they have it against a real city backdrop or with humans in the frame, it's a bit shaky.
Yeah, it's not
and
not the best.
And then they have like an actual life-size foot talon prop picking people up. And like I said, the baby was an actual puppet in some, I mean, it was only in the movie briefly, but in certain sequences.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, but the creature probably only has about 5 minutes of screen time in this movie.
It's like a first person view most time.
Yeah, there's a lot of those sweeping city shots are, I think, supposed to be from the viewpoint of the creature. But yeah. Score. I like the score. I like the actual orchestral score.
Mm-hmm.
Now there are times, like there's a chase sequence where they've got this like classical jazz piece playing. I mean, I get it, I guess, because he is a jazz piano player tries to be, but it's kind of awkward.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I think the score is pretty good for this movie.
No, it's not bad. It fits it pretty well.
Yeah.
And better than the movie we watched last week.
Yes. All around. Better than the movie we watched last week. But anyway, you want to get some final thoughts?
Why not, you know? This movie, it's good for what it is, you know. It's just too many subplots in one movie and short movie for what it is. And it just doesn't ever go, and none of them really go anywhere. The cultist thing, actually, I didn't think they were going to do it, but they actually wrapped that plot up somewhat.
Yeah, at the end, I don't know if I said, but at the end, yeah, he comes and tries to kill Quinn, because I guess he blames Quinn because he was the one that revealed the location of the bird, so he thinks that Quinn has to die to bring it to Bob. But Quinn has to voluntarily say the prayer.
Or he can't kill him.
Or he can't kill him, which he doesn't until, and then Shepard shows up and shoots him.
In the back.
In the back. I love that Shepard, like, shoots the guy up, and then, like, doesn't feel the need to report it in or anything, just puts the do not disturb sign on the hotel.
They'll figure it out later. But, yeah, that I was happy that they at least did that main subplot and finished it up, and, they finished the main plot up with finding the big creature and gunning it down, And, the effects in this movie are good. Good for the time that they made it, I would say.
Yeah, acceptable for the time they made
acceptable.
It.
Acceptable.
On the budget they made it on.
Yeah, you can't ask for too much from this movie.
Yeah.
And, acting in it, some of the acting is good.
Yeah.
The main characters in it are pretty good actors, and they do their part to the best of their abilities, but most of the side characters are not very good in this movie. They a little lackluster when it comes to acting at points. But, that's with any cheap 80s movie. Score. Score is all right. Like you said, the main orchestral score in this movie fits the movie perfectly and makes the movie move along.
Yeah.
Pretty well. But the jazz part of it, could be better. Could be worse, though,
Yeah.
I've heard worse before. So, I think I'll give this movie a plain old C.
Yeah, I think, this movie is kind of a weird creation of the 80s that you wouldn't get nowadays. It's a bunch of different elements kind of thrown together into a blender and spit back out. It's kind of part satire, part comedy, part horror, part creature feature.
Part drama.
Part cop drama, part mob movie. It is it's interesting to watch. And it's only 93 minutes, so that helps. It is kind of a hard R movie. There's a lot of decapitation. They show people getting dissected and skinned. And
there's some nudity in it.
There is some nudity on the rooftop. Peeping Toms. Yeah, it's something. I think you're right. The cast, especially our two leads, are veteran actors, and they're really good in this movie. Some of the supporting cast isn't as good, but that is what it is. Yeah, I wish the satirical elements in this movie were a little stronger. I wish they would have really committed to a genre. I wish there was a bit more of the creature than what we got. Obviously, they'd probably needed more of a budget for that than what they had. But there's also a lot of positives we had from this movie. I think, like I said, they used the NYC setting to its fullest capabilities, fullest extent. And I think that last scene on the Chrysler building is a pretty fun scene where he's, knocking the people off the little boxes they're standing on and pulling people out of the top of the Chrysler building and, does the King Kong thing where it kind of majestically falls out of the sky and all that. But yeah, I think I agree with you. I think this is a perfect C middle of the road movie. But yeah. Do you know what we're watching next week?
You might have to refresh my memory on that.
I'm going to have to refresh my own memory.
No, you're the one that made schedule.
So, well, I guess first, let's cover, I got one little news item that's going to come as a shock to nobody. GXK received a PG-13 rating for action and creature violence or something like that.
Wow.
So, obviously, that's what I was going to get. So, coming March 29th, there was rumors that it might have a Super Bowl ad, but I also read that Warner Brothers did not purchase any slots for the Super Bowl, so I guess not. No.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But anyway. But other than that, I think Next week, we're going to be watching The Lake, that new, what country was it from? Thailand or some movie. Some country. Some of those Southeastern Asian countries. Called The Lake. We've watched it before. It's actually a pretty interesting modern monster movie, I think. Yeah. So definitely join us for that. As far as everything else goes, Andrew, why don't you tell them where they can find our website with that schedule?
Well, you can find that at stompthisway.wordpress.com.
That's right. And you can also contact us at stompthisway1954@gmail.com. And of course, we're also on Facebook. So find us there. But other than that, thank you for joining us this week. As always, I'm Aaron.
I'm Andrew.
And we'll see you next time.